John 5, 2 through 9 is our main text today. This is a familiar group of scriptures to everybody in here. If you've ever spent any time in church or time in the Word of God, certainly you've come across this passage a time or two. I know that personally, I have spoken on it a time or two over the last 11 years. But it's something that is dear to my heart, and it's something that the Lord has kind of been stirring up and I've kind of been chewing on lately. And it fits really well with what I believe the Lord is doing in this time with His body and what He's doing with this church. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. So there's something that we need to address briefly, and I don't want to camp out on this too long, but if you're following along in your Bible, you may have a translation that has omitted verse 4. My Bible, or the ESV, what I preach out of on Sunday mornings and do a lot of my study on for Sundays, has omitted verse 4. So what is going on there? If you're reading your Bible and following along with me and verse 4 is not in your Bible, well, that's okay. And I'm not saying you have to scratch out verse 4 if it's in your Bible, okay? Yeah, please don't do that unless you feel led by the Lord to do that. But see, what was going on in the earliest manuscripts, that are available to us of the Word of God, of the sacred scripture, verse 4 was not there. It did show up in some early manuscripts, but not in the earliest. Okay, so I hope that makes sense to some of you guys. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. But a lot of people, a lot of theologians say, hey, this was not in the original text as far as we can tell, so let's leave it out. Having said that, it's not to say that the people around this pool did not believe this. What I'm saying is the Word of God does not say that this is a fact. The Word of God does not say that this is a fact, that an angel came down and would stir up the waters, okay? It doesn't say that. That's been omitted, all right? But this is a belief that most of the people had that were gathered around that pool. That's why they were gathered around that pool. That's just what they were believing. That's what they were hoping for. So I hope I didn't completely confuse you guys, but I wanted to throw that out there because some of your Bibles is not going to have verse 4. Mine does not. It's not the earliest. It does not show up in our earliest manuscripts. However, we have some amazing things to go over. I just wanted to bring that out real fast. Raise your hand if you are completely confused and baffled by what I just said. Oh, my gosh. Lord bless us all. So let's go ahead. And I want to jump down to John 5, verse 5. But see, here's the story. There's this pool. And at this pool, maybe it was a hot spring that would bubble up sometimes. We don't know. We don't really know what was going on there exactly at this pool. But there were some colonnades. There were some porches there. And so there was tons of sick people that would gather around there hoping for a healing, hoping for some sort of miracle. And so the story would go that from time to time, at any given moment, an angel would swoop down, stir up the water. The water would start to bubble and foam over. And if you could be the first guy, if you could be the first dude or woman to get into that water, the angel or the Lord would grant your healing. Okay. Seems a little insensitive to me. It seems a little cruel to me, you know, to be honest. And I believe that that's why it was not in the earliest manuscripts, because I believe that it wasn't supposed to be in there. But this was what a lot of people believe. But this isn't what God was doing. I believe that with my whole heart. This is not what God was doing. Do you think for a second that, I mean, just picture this. And it's not about my opinion, okay? But just picture this for a second. Hundreds of people, paralyzed, blind, lame, whatever the case may be. And then the water gets stirred up by an angel. And God says, the first person that can get down there, you're going to be healed, but no one else can. Can you imagine how crazy that would be? How wild that would be? Everybody trying to get down there, the blind guy going the wrong way, the guy hopping down there, people pushing everybody over and all that. God doesn't want us to give up. That's a fact. God doesn't want us to give up. God doesn't want us to let go of our healing. God does not want us to let go of him, okay? But it's not about being first. It's about trusting in the Most High God. So anyways, people were gathered around this place, hoping for their healing. But here comes the healing that this guy, had this infirmity, whatever it was, for 38 years. A lot of people in that day and age didn't live to be that old anyways. And this guy for 38 years was paralyzed or some sort of invalid in agony. That's where we're gonna pick up. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" We'll talk about being insensitive. Insensitive, is that being insensitive? No. God is asking an honest question, and the question goes out to every single one of us. Yeah, but God's asking this guy, Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes up to this guy, comes right up to him and says, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be better?" And that does seem kind of weird at first. I mean, obviously the guy would like to be able to walk. Obviously the guy would like to be better. But see, there's a big time lesson for all of us in that, big time lesson for me. You know, because sometimes talking about deliverance, talking about healings in our body, our mind battles, our situations that we've been in for so long, that have made us miserable, or we just know that they're wrong. We just know that this thought pattern that I constantly give into is wrong. It's not God-pleasing, or this behavior is not God-pleasing, you know? And sometimes we've struggled with these things, whatever it might be, this sinful thought, whatever's going on in your world. Sometimes we have battled this for years and years and years. You know, depression, anxiety, things like that, you know, whatever it might be. We battle. Sometimes we can get so tired. Listen to me this morning. Sometimes we can get so stinking tired. We just get wore out of doing it on our own. We can give up. Or we can be like, "Well, this is just how it's going to be." Does that make sense to anybody? This is just how my life is. This is my cross to bear. This is the thing that I have to deal with. My grandma did this, my mama did this, and I did this. Well, see, it boils down to this. If we know whatever we're grappling with is not God-pleasing, then God wants to help us get rid of that, you know? And the thing for us to do is to not give up. Not give up, but just keep holding on to God. Keep trusting in God. Can I get a witness this morning? Give the Lord some praise, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And God's not into the playing the games, you know. The Lord God's not into playing the games. But this guy, 38 years, man, that's a long time. That is a long time to suffer with whatever he's suffering with. And certainly, year after year, maybe the water would bubble a little bit. People would run down in there, splash around. Year after year, nothing was changing in his world. You know, maybe he was... At one time, he was really close to the edge of that pool, just waiting to roll into there. But it was so hot, and eventually over the years, he backs up underneath them porches. Just so many people. so many people suffering. Here's just one guy out of all these people that is suffering so hard. He's got this real problem, man. Yeah, but we don't give up. Can I get a witness? We grab a hold of the Most High God, you know, and we hang on to His promises. And see, let me just read this. Let's go to the next slide. Let me just read this. James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. God says, if you are serious about a life change, listen to me this morning, guys. I'm going to try and move fast, but I want us to grab a hold of what I'm talking about. Because God wants us to live in joy, peace, and be excited about our existence and not be burdened. You know what I mean? And so God says, you know, if you're serious about that life change, if you're serious about laying these burdens down that you've carried for so many years, these behaviors, and man, like I'm fond of saying, you know, if you're tired of the sin, repent thing, then we need to get serious about it. Just serious. Well, Paul, I am serious about it, and I keep falling into it. Yeah, man, I know. I've been in that same boat, man. I struggle too, man. But see, God says, if you are serious about this change, grab a hold of me, and I won't let you go. He's not saying it's going to be easy. Okay, talking about addictions and stuff like that, man, I know people that have said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And just like that, they've been delivered and didn't have that taste or that desire anymore. But He doesn't always do that. He can do that, and I've seen Him do that. But sometimes He says, you know what? Daily, My grace is going to be enough for you. Daily, you're going to have to deny yourself these things. Daily, you're going to have to say, no, I want to please God and not myself. But He will give us the strength to do that. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Look at James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. God says, if you're serious about this, if you are serious about making some sort of change for the better, you draw near to Him, and He's going to draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God says, it's time to stop playing games. You know, if you want it, you can have it. If you want, I'm not trying to be some motivational pep talk guy. I'm just saying that I'm tired in my own life and people that I care about living under the place that God has for us. Not living to the potential or what God has for us. The abundant life. I'm not talking about having everything your heart ever desired. I'm talking about living free and not burdened with your own sins and regrets, man. You know, I'm talking about being set free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I get a witness? So it's about saying enough is enough. It's not just saying enough is enough, but coming to that place, beloved, where you're like saying, you know what? I have lived in this mess. I have messed around with this for too long. I have lost too much time. You see, the beautiful thing when a thief is caught, he's got to pay back. He's got to pay back many, many times over. And God can restore everything that we've lost. So it's really about saying, I don't want this anymore, and meaning it. Like I said, I'm not trying to say that it's an easy thing, but I'm saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God will give me the strength. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. This is what we got. This is the blessing of being one of His children. You know, He does want us to be about His business. And there are some things that He would like for us to get rid of. Amen. And plus, man, sometimes we've just held ourselves down with things that other people have told us. Or you know, well-meaning people, you know. Whatever, man, just let it go. Just let it go. Give it to God, whatever it is. Can I get a witness? Look at Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? Like, God, I've just struggled so much, and my mind is such a mess. God says, come to me. Come to me. And so the NLT, which I really like how it says, those of you that are weary and carry heavy burdens. Same thing, but it's just a little simpler. It works good for my mind. When you're tired and you're carrying a heavy load, because I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Man, we carry all this baggage, you know, from our past. We carry all this baggage, all this stuff that God never meant for us to hang on to. That's why he says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. You give me this stuff. You were never meant to hold this stuff or be bound by this stuff. Can I get a witness? So it's really about like the prodigal son who was sitting in the muck and the mire. I love the little story about the prodigal son because if you're like me, you can relate to it, okay? But see, the cool deal, my favorite part is where the whole thing pivots on this situation right here. Look at Luke 15:17. But when he came to himself, or when the prodigal son came to his senses, the prodigal son had officially hit rock bottom, man. He was sitting in the muck, the mud, the pig refuse, the leftovers that the pigs wouldn't eat. So here's a Jewish kid who wasn't supposed to be anywhere near pigs, feeding pigs, hanging out with pigs is a picture of sin. But see, here's the deal. It was in the bottom, it was in this mud where he came to his senses and said, you know what? I don't have to live like this anymore. I've wasted so much time. And the prodigal son, he tried everything the world had to offer. You know, he got his inheritance and he went and spent it all and had all this great time. And at the end of it, he was broke and he was empty, man. He had nothing to show for it. So here's the deal. Let's look at this verse. Luke 15:17. But when he came to himself, the prodigal son, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. It's like, man, I'm in a bad situation. I'm in a horrible situation. But you know what? But you know what? I've come to my senses. And my father is a good father. My father is an amazing father. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. And the prodigal son, he was ready to settle for so much less than what the father was willing to give him. You know, he said, look, I'm just going to go back and say, look, I know the servants, you're a great guy, Dad. You treat the servants so awesome and wonderful. I have sinned against you. I've messed everything up. I spent half your money. Am I bad about that? I made a big mistake. Just let me be one of your servants. Just let me be one of your hired hands. And God said, no way. The father said, no way, man. You are my son. You're my son. Let me put this robe on you. Let me put this ring on you. Let's have a party because you're back, man. You know, God says, look, get serious with it, and he'll get serious with it. It's not that he's not serious now, but he, like I was trying to say earlier, he's not really into the playing the game thing, man. You know, but when you're ready for that life change, and you know, we do, sometimes we do have to hit rock bottom, but let today be your rock bottom, man. Let today be, I mean, how low do you want to go? Navajo? It ain't going to get prettier. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Jesus goes up to this guy. And he said, you want to be healed? You want your body to stop hurting? You want to be able to walk around and stretch and go see the sights and go check out what's going on the other side of town? You want to get better? He's saying, look, man, search your heart. Search your heart. Look deep inside. Have you just gotten used to it? Have you just gotten used to sitting here and, you know, well, about this time of day, so-and-so is going to come by. He usually drops off a couple of plums or something, you know, I'll chill in. You know, I'm okay, man. This is all right. You know, it's all right. I'm in the shade here. I got me a, last 8 years, I had me a pretty decent little spot right here. That guy died and another guy moved in. He's cool. I like that guy. Yeah, it's okay. But God doesn't want us to live like that, man. You know, he paid for us to be full of joy. He paid for us to have that abundant life. You know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we just settle for, you know, just whatever. Because we've tried for so long. We've tried for so long. Maybe we even stopped praying. You know, I'm not praying for that anymore. Well, I think there's a lot to be said about not giving up. Just grabbing hold of the horns of the altar. Can I get a witness? Okay. John 5 and verse 7. The sick man answered him. I find this very interesting because, Lord, this is such a picture of humanity, and it's certainly a picture of me, you know. And all God's people said, no, it's not a picture. It's not. You're a good boy. You're all right. No, it's not. But it totally is, man, at times. Okay. Anyways, John 5 and verse 7. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. So first of all, that was the superstition. That was the thing, that if they could get to the water first, they'd be healed. He's like, man, I ain't got no one to help me. So he's kind of like blaming, listen, dude, well, he's not kind of, he's blaming other people for his problem, you know? And that's a dead end, man. That's a dead end, and we waste. I'm not saying something didn't happen to you. I'm not saying people weren't cruel or what. I'm not saying any of that. And I know that people have been hurt, but I'm saying God does not want us to camp out there. And, you know, so, and yeah, man, bad things happen. Horrible things happen. Horrible, and I'm not being insensitive. I'm not trying to sound like that. I know there's been real hurts and real devastations. Really unfair stuff happens to people all the time. But I'm saying God is saying that was not meant to destroy you. Satan meant for that to take you out. Satan meant for that to, you know, sideline you, to blindside you, to get you out of the picture, you know? But God said, no, I don't want that for you. Well, God, it just doesn't make any sense. Sometimes it don't make sense. Not here, not now. But see, honest to God, that's when we got to grab a hold of what we do know. What we do know, that my God is with me. My God cares. My God loves me. He loves me. You know, and you know, so we look through the, praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And honest to God, I'm not saying that bad things haven't happened to us. I mean, especially as I look across it, I know that some of the things that have happened in your life. But God says, okay, enough of blaming other people. If we do that, I'm not saying you do that. But if you do that, okay, God says, dust yourself off, man, and trust in me and get moving forward again. All right? Those things were never, and it does, it hurts, it stings to know that God signed off on this and allowed this to happen. But his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as high as the heavens are from the earth. Man, all I can say is he knows what he's doing. And I know this, that he loves you. He loves you with an undying love. I know that. But you see this guy, he's like saying, he's probably rehearsed this in his mind over and over again. Man, every time that water bubbles, every time somebody thinks that water bubbles, man, there's a mass exodus to that thing. And I'm just sitting here while everybody's hopping and rolling into it. And I'm just laying here because I got nobody. Like that guy on the far side of the pool who every other Sabbath day, his aunt or niece or somebody comes and visits him, brings him a loaf of bread. I ain't got nobody. Well, stop looking at that guy. Stop worrying about that guy. Right? Okay, well, look. Okay, let me give you some scripture. Galatians 6 and verse 5. Okay, for each will have to bear his own load. What? For each will have to bear his own load. The NLT says it like this, and maybe this will shed a little light on the subject. We are each responsible for our own conduct. You are responsible for you. See, point back at yourself. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for how that dude or that guy let you down or wasn't there for you or whatever, or was talking crap about you or whatever, okay? Sorry, I said crap. I swear he said it. Plain as day. Look, man. Just get it out of your system. No, okay. So, okay, all God's people said, no, I'm playing. No. Bring it back together. Okay, now look, man. you are only responsible for you and what you do. You know, so if somebody's done you wrong, not saying they didn't. You've been dealt a bad hand of cards, not saying you didn't. Yeah, okay. You're responsible for you. What are you going to do with this? You're gonna roll over and die? You're going to snuggle up underneath the best part of the shade of the colonnade and just sit back and say, man, I give up. My life is messed up. Since I was 24 years old, my life has been dookie. It ain't going to get no better. Then he said dookie. Look at Psalm 118 in verse 8. This is a good one. Psalm 118 in verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Have we figured that out yet? I'm not saying people ain't going to be there for you. I'm not knocking your neighbor or none of that, man. And God bless us. Man, this is the most amazing church of wonderful, wonderful people, man. But look, sometimes people will let us down. They don't mean to. Heck, sometimes people do mean to, you know. Sometimes, you know, okay, whatever. But there's a lesson in all of that. Maybe that person that you perceive to have let you down, maybe he's saying, you know what? I've changed your tire about four times now, dude. Maybe it's time, you know. I mean, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Sometimes these, maybe they ain't being so cruel. Maybe it's time for the little birdie to get pushed out a little bit, you know? Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Sometimes folks will let you down. Sometimes you will let people down. You won't mean it. I hear about it all the time where I've let people down. It's like, oh, man, I didn't realize I let you down. Sorry. And I mean it, you know, because sometimes we don't mean to. A lot of times we don't mean to. But okay, so here's the deal. If you're going through it and you can't reach someone on the phone, and God bless you if you can't, you know, I mean, I'm not making light of anything. You're going through it. You're going through some horrible situation. And you're like, man, the people that I thought were going to be here are not here for me. Man, I hate that. I hate that, and Lord, don't let it be true of us, you know. But sometimes things happen, man. Sometimes things are happening on the other end that you don't know about, that you don't know, that you don't get, you know. But if that does happen, and certainly it will, you have a God in heaven that is not just in heaven, but he is right there with you. And he's saying, now, beloved, now it's time for just me and you. Now it's time, let me show myself strong in this situation. Because I'm truly all you have to have. Trust in the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody knows this verse. But see, this is what we got to do. We got to apply it to our life. We really do. We have to apply it to our life. We can memorize all kinds of stuff, you know. And we want to memorize Scripture. It's a wonderful thing. We need to do that. But it's more than just reading it. Like James says, do what it says. Apply it to our life. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart, every single bit of who you are, man. Don't leave any room for doubt. And this is an active thing. This is an action mode. This is a verb. This is saying, I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to drown out the lies of the devil. And my trust in you is going to be stronger than the doubts that I have in myself. The trust in you is going to be stronger than what this well-meaning person has said about my situation. I'm going to put all my trust in you. I'm going to believe. What does that look like? You take God's word and you believe it. You stand on it. Let God be true and everybody else can be a liar if it doesn't line up with what God says. All right? He's got you this far. And my goodness gracious, if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for more than a day and a half, day and a quarter, whatever. If 3 hours. If you've been a Christian at all, you know God is real. It don't take long for you to figure out, man, that this thing is real. It's like Preacher Fred used to say, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. That's a silly, simple little thing. And maybe we say it so much, or it's been said so much that it loses its grandeur a little bit. But no, think about that, because it's true. I know too much about him. Yeah, you got doubts? Okay. God bless you. Why don't you just step out in faith, you know? Step out in faith, because he will show himself to you. He will make himself real to you. I've seen too much. I know too much. I've experienced too much to know that this is the way. Never. I'm not going to say it. I ain't saying it. Some of you guys, never mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, because we can deceive ourselves, man. We do it all the time, right? God will be cool with this. Hey, well, what does his word say? Hey, I'm a special case. Are you? Are you a special case? In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, submit to him. See, that's the thing. If I'm going to trust in him, I need to submit to him. I need to let him be the boss. He's not just my Savior, but he is my Lord and Savior, right? You know what I'm saying? So he says, submit to me. Because, man, a lot of times we are dealing with something in our life, man. A lot of times we're dealing with the painful consequences of our own rebellion. Sometimes. I mean, plain and simple. You know, God says we reap what we sow. And it's not like he's standing over you with a lightning bolt waiting for you to do it. Go ahead, do it, man. Gabriel, I got this one. Check it out. Shagadoom. No, he's not like, it's a warning. It's a warning. He's saying, look, bound up in your actions, good or bad, bound up in your action, there will always be a consequence. And he says, if you choose to do this, you're choosing to hurt yourself. Anyways, moving forward, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Trust in him 100%. Submit to him 100%. The more I submit to him, more I can trust in him. More I trust in him, more I can submit to him. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make straight your paths. So what we're talking about this morning, this guy that's been miserable, crippled for 38 years, but his life's about to be changed, or his life got changed in our text. He done picked up his, well, I don't know if we got there or not. The guy's going to pick up his mat and walk. He's going to be healed. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Submit to God with your whole heart, and he will make your path straight. He can take this rubbish that we've been holding on to for years and yank it off of us. So, well, yeah, just like that. Dude did it. Jesus did it just like that. Snapped his finger. Boom, that guy's healed. Well, keep in mind, the dude was battling it for 38 years. But it changed just like that. Just like that. Like when the disciples, Jesus said, get into the boat, folks. Get in the boat, disciples. Go to the other side. Get out of here. All these people are trying to make me king, and I don't want you guys to even be bothered. I don't want you thinking about any of that. Go to the other side. I'm going to stay here and pray. I'm going to dismiss these people, and I'm going to go pray. They go out in the middle of the water. Storm comes. These crazy storms. Crazy wild storm. They spend hours and hours and hours and hours fighting this storm. They ain't getting anywhere, man. They are in the same place. It's getting worse. Boat's about to sink. Jesus ain't even with them. But then Jesus steps in the boat, and boom, they're all, the time they lost was restored, man. They were on the other side immediately, man. Sometimes we're going to go through some battles and some stuff that we don't think that we can get rid of. Man, my mind just is such a mess, or I'm just so hurt all the time, or whatever. God doesn't want us to live like that. But we don't give up, man. We trust in him. We grab a hold of him. We refuse to let him go. And he can just do it just like that. I've seen it happen. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. I like that. Do you want to be healed? Well, yeah, but every time other people go and you guys blaming other people. Man, I ain't got no one to help me out. Look into my eyes, invalid man. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? I want you to do this. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. I really like what the guy did. Jesus said, get up, you're healed, take up your bed and walk. The guy gets up, does exactly what Jesus says, takes up his bed and walk. Why did he tell him to take up his bed and walk? Because he ain't coming back there no more. You got to come back there no more, man. You've been set free. You've been delivered, dude. You don't have to live here anymore. You don't have to sit under the scorching sun. You don't have to have all these negative thoughts anymore, man. You've been set free. Okay. But I will say this. Well, I should say this. If we put our faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, it's not going to satisfy. You know, let's look, quick little inventory of what we know about the dude, about the invalid guy. You know, okay, 38 years, that's a really long time. Nobody was there to help him, okay? Well, blaming people got him nowhere. And yeah, nobody was there to help him. But see, the superstition of the day, or the water of the, what man had to offer could not make the guy better. Even though there was no one there to help him, if somebody did grab him up and throwed him, all God's people said, throwed him, threw him into the water, and he was the first one there, man, that would not have healed him. That wasn't the thing, man. That was a superstition. That's why those people were gathered there, all right? But see, when you put your faith in God, that's where there's real results, man. That's where the life change is. I mean, some of us know because we tried a little bit of this, we tried a little bit of that. Some of us just by life, you know, by life we've tried a little bit of this, tried a little bit of that, and we know the hole that it leaves and the mess that leaves, you know. But Jesus Christ is the way to the Father, the only way to the Father, and he is the only one that can satisfy. And that's the truth of the matter. Okay, but here's the deal. Philippians 4:13. What a powerful little stick of dynamite. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Isn't that awesome? What a wonderful promise that God says. You know, this is a promise for the believers. This is a promise for his children. He says, when you're struggling, when you've been messed up in your mind for 38 years, when you've had to deal with this addiction for 38 years, and you finally have said, you know what, enough is enough. When you draw near to him and he draw nears to you because he sees you're serious, and he's not saying, oh, it's going to be easy. He's not saying that. He says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can put that down if I need to put that down. I can say yes to what I need to say yes to, no to what, you know, say. God will give me the strength, man. He's not going to tell us to do something and not equip us. He will give us what we need. We just got to be serious about it, you know? Well, God bless each and every one of you. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. What if, because it does happen, I've had, on request miracles in my life where I say, God, I need this. And boom, it's happened. But then there's been times when you pray and you pray and you pray. I'm not saying give up. But sometimes God does answer our prayer and says no. Or he'll say no, not right now. Or that's not going to benefit our relationship, you know, for me to do this. So what I'm trying to say, well, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, you know, he dealt with this thorn, this some sort of ailment that he had, and it was driving him batty, man. He felt like he could serve God so much better if God would remove this torment, whatever it was. He felt like he could be a better Christian, a better soldier for the Lord, if he had this thorn removed, metaphorically a thorn, removed from him. And he asked God repeatedly. And God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I need you to have that. Because the way I use you, Paul the Apostle, and the amazing revelations, and by the way, you're writing a huge chunk of the New Testament, Paul, you know, with your letters and all this stuff, they said, it's not going to be beneficial to our relationship or your ministry at all if I remove this thorn. Because I've shown you such amazing things that if I was to remove this, you would begin to be prideful. And I can't have you being prideful, Paul. I just can't have that. He's a big picture God. He looks at the big picture. And so sometimes he won't just snap and, oh, my back feels better. But I've seen him do it. I've had it happen to me. Yeah, I've seen some amazing. I'm just saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep asking. Keep trusting in God. But talking about your anguish, talking about your addictions, talking about behaviors, thoughts, things that are not God-pleasing, you know what? He says, I'll help you right now. We'll get rid of those things, man. You just get serious about it, and we'll start on that journey, man. We'll get rid of this stuff. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. But he said to me, this is Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul, this is what I'm going to do. You want this thing removed? It's really, really bugging you? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remind you that my grace, my favor, my provision in your life is really all you have to have. So as I'm battling with whatever, God has given me the grace I need. He has given me the strength I need. I got to lean on him. I got to trust in him. And I got to be serious, man. You know, like I said, when I'm serious, God's serious. Yeah, he's not into the playing the game thing. But when you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Can I get a witness, church people? Did you? Let's go to the last slide. No. Just stay here. I'm sorry. Getting a little ahead of myself. So Jesus heals this guy, this invalid fella. And he's going around, and Jesus actually healed this guy on the Sabbath day. So it causes a bunch of trouble between Jesus and the religious elite of the day. It causes a big mess there, a big storm there. I'm not going to get into that right now. Read the whole chapter. But what there is one thing I do want to point out is Jesus was searching out the guy in the beginning. He went to the guy, said, do you want to be made whole? You want to be well? You want to be better? You want to walk around? You want to go see the tourist sites? You want to get, you want to do this? Jesus searches the guy out again, finds him in the temple. This guy, is just walking around having a great time. Jesus comes up to him and says this. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. This is John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Boom, man. See, that is just intense. That is hardcore. Because, sometimes we just want our body to not hurt, or we just want to be set free from whatever's eating at our mind or whatever. And I get it. Believe me, I get it. But God is telling, Jesus Christ is telling this guy, good for you, man, that you're feeling great and your strength has come back to you. But there's actually a bigger problem than physical torment. There's actually a bigger deal than what you just experienced for the last 38 years. Forever is a really, really long time. And you didn't just suffer from a physical situation. But see, here's the deal. You, my friend, who have just been made physically well, you have a spiritual problem or you have a sin problem, and we need to address that. Really, this is part two of his message to this guy. It's not just about being physically made well, which is what we all want. But God says, look, there's something way deeper, way, way deeper and way more important than your physical wellness. And sometimes God will allow these physical ailments, to bring us to him. Man, let's be honest. We pray like it ain't nobody's business when your world's falling apart. You pray like nothing else, man, when you're like, my back will go out or something, and I had really bad back problems since I was 24. And every once in a while I'll go through one of these flare-ups where I'm like, oh, man, this is the big one. This is a big one. I'm going to have surgery again. I'll just start praying like, God, I can't do that. Why am I praying so hard? Because I don't want to be miserable like that. So sometimes God knows painful stimuli is going to get you to run back to him. He knows. That's his preferred method to get us to run to him because it yields results. But anyways, Jesus is saying there's something bigger than the fact that you were paralyzed for 38 years. How about being in eternal damnation? He said damnation. What about being in eternal suffering and torment for eternity? Eternity. What about that? There's a bigger issue. He's saying you got to think about that, man. I sought you out. I sought you out because I had to let you know. Now that you've experienced this, you can go all the way. You can be healed. Your spirit can be healed. And so this is the big thing. Because, yes, God does want you to be delivered of any addiction. He wants you to be delivered of anything that is not pleasing to him, anything that has been holding you back, that has been hurting your relationship with him, that all the pain, all the regret, all the sorrows, all the hurts, whatever it might be. He says you can be healed of that. He comes to give us life. By his stripes, we are healed. See what I'm saying? Well, he says, this is the big thing, and this is where it starts right here. Okay? You got to be in the family. You got to be in the family. I'm not saying he can't heal you if you're not saved. I've seen crazy things like that. His mercy and grace is just ununderstanding and completely amazing. But he said, but who cares if you get your headache removed, but then you're going to go to hell for 1,000 years? I mean, not even 1,000 years, forever and ever and ever, you know? So who cares, man? But today, man, you can have eternal life. Your sins can be wiped away, you know? Your sins can be forgiven today. If you have not done that, you need to do it, because look at Romans 6:23. It's on your bulletin monitor. For the wages of sin is death. It's not just death. It's not just, oh, we miss grandma. I know we miss grandma. We all miss grandma. Her cookies were the best. Look, it's not, that's part of it, but that's not the big picture. It's talking about death means separation. So it's talking about being separated from your Creator, being separated from God. You take God out of the picture, it is nothing but damnation. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the point Jesus is making to this guy who has just been physically made well. He said, let's go all the way, bro. Let's work on the real problem. Let's work on your spiritual situation. And how we want to close this thing out today. If you're already saved, wonderful, awesome, great. And I hope everybody is. You know, we're going to take the next few minutes and we're going to pray. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, and I want you to mean it. Okay? So if you think today is the day, and I'm going to tell you right now, today is the day. You need to do it today. You are not promised tomorrow. True story, man. You know? I mean, you guys know what's happening around here, right? It's not just around here. It's everywhere, right? But, you know, the kids are doing the dope, and the dope's killing them now, you know? All right? Look, I'm just saying, man, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. People die in car wrecks every day. People getting strange diseases all the time. All this craziness is going on. But God says, look, I got the answer to what's ailing you. I got the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer to whatever you're going through. I'm not saying he's going to grant you 100 years. That's between that. Well, that's his prerogative, you know. But I'm saying he will grant you eternal life. Eternal life. That ain't so bad, huh? Well, man, the kids at school will tease me. Man, they don't like you anyways, dude. I'm playing. They like you. They think you're swell, probably. Okay, listen, this is serious. This is serious. If you want to be saved, or if you want this, I want you to repeat after me. And everybody's welcome to pray this. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your law. And I deserve hell. But I believe that you sent your son to die for my sins and pay for my sins. And he rose from the dead, destroying and defeating death. I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you say, well, that's just too simple. Man, okay, it's the free gift of God. He did the hard stuff. He died so you could live. Your sins were placed on him. His righteousness, if you prayed that, just went on you. Okay? So if you prayed that and meant that, okay, you need to take it serious. You need to get in a Bible-believing church. This one will do, I reckon. We got room for you. You need to read your Bible and you need to pray. That's serious stuff. You need to spend time with the Lord. Because, you know, now it's time to grow in that relationship. Now it's time to grow in your relationship with the Creator of the universe. He wants to spend eternity with you. But if you prayed that minute, you are now a Christian. You're now in the family of the Most High God. So you're blessed, and we love you. And if you made that commitment, why don't you come up and tell me?